The series we're in is called Insecurity, and I wanted to just start with a working definition. Insecurity is the uncertainty or the anxiety about oneself, a lack of confidence. The insecurity that we're speaking of is this lack of confidence that comes from an uncertainty. The idea of going into a secure place is there's some certainty that the contents or the people inside will be protected, and so there is some rest inside of security. Most of us, many of us, we live our lives on unstable ground. We're insecure about a lot of different things, a lot of different arenas. Some examples of insecurities that you and I might battle are the physical. How do I look to other people? Am I attractive? Do people think I'm pretty or handsome? Am I overweight? Am I underweight? How does my hair look today? How about my clothes? Am I being too loud in conversation? Am I saying enough? It's these physical insecurities. Or maybe you have some emotional insecurities. How do I deal with people? Because if I get too close, they might hurt me. So I don't want to expose very much of my true self. If I open up, are they going to judge me? Are they going to run if they really know me? Maybe if I've been burned in the past, it means I can't trust someone new because I've been burned. So who wants to try? I don't want to get hurt. I'm insecure about my emotions. How about material things? Why don't I have a bigger house? Why don't I have the amount of money? That woman over there, she just got engaged, and man, her diamond's bigger than mine was when I got engaged. Or hey, I'm not engaged, and so I really want that diamond. How come that family's on their third vacation? And I haven't got on one in a couple of years. Material insecurities. What are people going to think if they see me pulling up in my old car? Insecurities. Relational insecurity. Does anybody want to be with me? Does anybody even want to marry me? Do people like being around me? Why do people seem to avoid me? Why? How come when I make an invite, not enough people come to make me happy? When I walk into a room full of people, why do I feel so overwhelmed? It's relational insecurities, or maybe spiritual. Maybe you became a Christian, but all it did was add another layer of things to be insecure about. Like, I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like I know what other people in my growth group know. Or maybe I won't attend a growth group because I don't want to be exposed as being so new to my faith. Or maybe I'm older, I've been a Christian a long time, and I feel like I just don't even know what I'm supposed to know. And so I don't want to let people know that I'm weaker than I really am in my spiritual walk. Have I done enough today to please God? God, are you happy with me today? Spiritual insecurity. You see, we're constantly battling insecurity. And the Lord has called us to live actually in security. And so you and I, we battle these things that the enemy just puts right in front of us to trip us up or to make us feel less or to make us feel not enough. It can even be helped because you go into a room like this and maybe you're the new person and you're kind of on edge because you're just looking, will they accept me? Will they look me in the eye? Will they be loving? And if somebody doesn't meet that criteria, you just say, well, I'll try to the next place. If that's you, I want you to know there may be days where you get bombarded around here, and maybe there are days where you could slip in and slip out. But I want you to know there are a ton of people at this church that love you. And if you find yourself on an island, if you find yourself alone in that way, please reach out. Please let me know. Let us know. Use your connection card. Reach out to somebody and say, hey, Pastor was talking about me. Here's my contact info. But there's no reason for any of us in this room to do life alone. Amen? And there are plenty of people in this room that would love to have you over and love to have a meal with you and love to hear your story. Do not allow the devil a foothold in your life when it comes to insecurities that way. Write this down if you're jotting notes today. Insecurity is a form of fear. And fear is not a gift of God. Insecurity is a form of fear, and fear is not a gift of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. When we're dealing with insecurities, we can be confident we're not dealing with something that God is giving us. Insecurity is often the result of misplaced trust. Insecurity is often the result of a misplaced trust. You see, if you're completely rested and trusted and the foundation, your rock is Jesus, if you've found a place to where Jesus is everything for you and you really are the branch and He really is the vine, if you found that place, you can find security. When Jesus tells us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, He's telling us, hey, once you're in me, you've got nothing to be stressed about. I will handle those things. You just handle knowing me. You just handle resting in me. You just handle growing from me. But when we find ourselves putting trust in other things besides Jesus, or in addition to Jesus, Jesus plus something is nothing. But when we're finding ourselves putting our hope and our trust and our faith in other things apart from the Lord, we put ourselves on unstable ground, because those things are not meant to save. Those things will not stand the test of time. They will not go into you, into eternity with you. And so your life and my life, because we are souls that will live in forever, your life and my life, we need to build our lives on the things that will not move, the solid rock on which we stand. But many times we can find ourselves, just like the person who doesn't know the Lord right to the next to us, the left or the right, we can find ourselves building our lives on other things other than Jesus. And in doing so, we are asking for our feet to be unstable. We are inviting insecurities into our lives, because it is true, there are people who will fail you. It is true that there are financial burdens that you will go through and struggles that you will have. It is true that this world is not your home. And so as a result, by putting your faith and trust and hope in things apart from the Lord, you will find insecurity at some point. Insecurities. We trust in people, and so when they leave us, we're left to be insecure. We trust in money, but without it, we feel insecure. We trust in our own strength. We say, well, I'll just get through this time. But then when we age, get weak, get injured, all of a sudden, we're left to be insecure and vulnerable. I'm in a stage in life now where I'm kind of like the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz. And I hate to admit it, but when I get up in the morning, I've got to start to just make sure everything's still connected and just get limbered up. I know, I'm approaching 40. I'm having the, as someone told me the other day, quarter life crisis. It's like, quarter life? Wow, it's impressive. Yeah. But we can't trust even in ourselves, because even in these bodies, they will fall away. Let's go to the main text of today. I want to tell you, give you some examples from the scriptures just about security that needed to be found by a man who was called by God. His name is Gideon in Judges chapter 6. If you're on our Bible app, you can also go there and the uversion.com and the Bible down at the bottom right. There's an events page. Click that and it'll lead you to our service today. But Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. It says this, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth at Ophrah," not Oprah, Ophrah, "which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, and while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress." I love preaching on this text because it is so ridiculous, this picture. He's beating out wheat inside of a winepress to hide it from the Midianites. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" Man, that's so good. I try to get Christy to call me that. She doesn't. Y'all pray for her. First lady of the church. "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? I think we've all kind of been there, right? Like, get rid of that guard. If the Lord was here, things would be different. If the Lord was really aware of what was going on, I wouldn't be going through this hardship. If the Lord was really there, I would have never had that person leave me. If the Lord was really there, my child never would have gotten sick. I said, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has this happened to us? And where are all of His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us and saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Both my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Not only is it bad enough I come from a pretty weak place, but like I'm the piglet. Like I'm the smallest of the small. You come to the wrong guy, wrong address, Lord. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Many of us can find ourselves in the place where Gideon was. He was insecure and he had a lot of earthly, fleshly reasons to be. It says that he had heard stories about how God had been there and how the people of God had been moved out of Egypt. He heard these stories and the forefathers, they kept talking about it. They kept telling him up, pumping him up, and he wants to believe this stuff, but with his own eyes, it's really hard because his situation's pretty dire. You have a lot of people right now that have heard grandma, great-grandpa used to believe, and man, they were faithful people. But you had a lot of young people that have risen up now that have just said, I don't know the Lord or His works. I don't know. I mean, I know that it used to be hard, and I know that people overcame a lot, and I know that in my family someplace there's people that have really, really believed in this, but there's a lot of people in our generation who look around and just say, psh, I can't tell. I turn on the news and I'm seeing the bickering. I turn on the news and I'm seeing death culture everywhere. I was looking the other day, actually, at Baltimore news stations, and I'm scrolling through, actually, it was on Facebook, and it popped up. And I started to notice that not only does the local media tell me all of the bad things happening in Baltimore to get me to click, but the other day I started to realize they sift and search for all the bad things happening all around the world, and they put it in my feed so that I'll click. It doesn't tell me like where it happened. It just says that today, you know, mother kills children and self. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, which street was that on? Like, where do I know people? Do any of my family involved? Like, is there anybody nearby? And so I click. And it's like, you know, Japan. I'm like, you really went out of your way to bring me the worst. And in church, I hope you understand, over time, your psyche can be beaten down. We were not designed, we were not built to be living so interconnected to where every negative thing imaginable on today is brought into our eyes and our eyesight. Like, we're not made. We were made to where you would hear a bad thing that happened by letter, and it came to you on a horse. And it might have been stamped in wax. So like we were not made to absorb this much drama negativity. But here is Gideon. He's in this wine press. And by the way, you don't flesh out wheat in a wine press. That's not what you do. But he was down in this big cylinder, and the idea is that he was hiding from all the Midianites that had overtaken the land, and he was there doing the work of sifting out the wheat, but he didn't want his wheat to get stolen. This was the kid who's tired of the bully taking his lunch money. And so here's Gideon, and he finds himself just afraid, and then the Lord comes and speaks, and it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree at Ophrah with belonged to Joash and Abiathar, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. you might find yourself being insecure in insecure situations, and I want to give you some helps to help you understand God's perspective in all of this. The first thing you can write down is this: God calls out your potential, not your problems. God calls out your potential, not your problems. What I've learned is that insecure people see problems in every possibility. Insecure people see problems in every possibility. When people are afraid, they don't want anybody else around them to be confident. So you bring them a plan, and insecure people, they just want to make sure that you feel the same terrible way they do about the problem. Like, oh, that could break. That could go wrong. That person might not like you. They might not answer. What if they say that? What if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And so insecure people just have a tendency to jump towards the worst, because why? They're not comfortable with the fact that if God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm in His hand. And so what? If He takes me through the valley, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, which means all of your enemies won't go away. But He's preparing a table. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So what if I have to go through some valleys? You see, but the insecure person, oh man, you might have to go through a valley. You know what happens in valleys. You got to watch out. You got to protect yourself. Got to be on and on and on. Insecure people can always find problems in every possibility. Insecurity people see possibilities in every problem. Because we trust the One who was from the beginning. We trust the One who spoke it all into existence. We trust the One who provided skin covering to Adam and Eve to cover up their sin. We trust the One who paved the way for salvation. We trust the One who used men and women who were weak in the eyes of the world, weak in their own faith, weak in their willingness to even wait up with Jesus during prayer. These are the people that God has used. And so in every broken place, in every broken story, God is in the redemption business. But if all you're worried about is the insecurity, of course you're going to see the brokenness. But the brokenness is not the end of the story. And so when God steps into your life and when God calls you, God does not call you about just who you are. God says, hey, I'm going to see something in you, and if you join my team, I know who you're supposed to be. I know the woman of God you will become. I know the man of God you will become. And you don't look much like it right now, because right now you're sitting here all scared and beating wheat inside of a wine press, not even using the tools around you for the way they're designed, and you're afraid of everybody around you. I see where you are, but I'm not calling you by that. I'm calling you a mighty man of valor. I'm calling you for what you will be when your life is linked up to mine, and when you trust me and you follow me, and you do as I've asked you to do. I'm calling you. And so He who calls you knows who you will be. He doesn't call you by your problem. He calls you by your possibility. Your only gap between the two is faith. You've got to decide if you've got faith. It's not about will God come through. It's about will you trust Him to come through. So when you're insecure, you got to remind yourself. You got to tell your flesh. The flesh is always trying to run away from God. You got to get your flesh under control and just say, hey, I know it looks bad, but He who has called me is faithful. What am I doing? So He calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. He didn't look like any kind of man of valor. He looked like a wimp. He looked like a chicken little. I'm from a bad clan, and I'm the weakest in my clan, and I'm piglet. I might die. Like, insecurity. He wasn't in his security. He was insecure in himself. But God doesn't call us based on your present situation or what you're going through. He calls you on your potential if you'll link up with Him. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all of His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. One thing you got to understand about your insecurities is this: life is a movie, not a screenshot. Life is a movie, not a screenshot. You see, Gideon was all focused on right now. Gideon's looking around at the screenshot. You watch a movie on your phone, and you can go ahead and take that phone out, and you can click a couple of buttons, and it'll save whatever is on the screen at the moment. And if you're not careful, you could watch the movie and screenshot the place where the protagonist is being hurt the most. But a great movie always has the rise and the fall of the protagonist, and then you're seeing the overcoming, and you're like, ah, love will go on, or whatever. I don't know how the words go. But you watch those near, far. Like, you watch, and you can click it, and you can screenshot a moment in that movie, and you can just show people. Man, see how bad it is? Oh, see how, look at this. The person dies. I'll just give you the, they die. But really, it was a screenshot. It was a moment in the movie. It wasn't the end. It wasn't over. And so what happens in insecurity, when you get insecure, you start to believe that your screenshot is the whole movie. You start to believe that whatever's happening right now, right around me, in this circumstance, is all it's ever going to be. And you know what you lose when you do that? Faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you live your life and you're screenshotting the moment and you're crying out to God and saying, where is God in all this? It's a movie. And He's moving you. And there are things that you had to learn before the blessing that could come the next time. There are situations that the Lord had to let you walk through because you were so stubborn. The only way you were going to turn to Him is if you went and did it your way, and He stood like that father at the distance just waiting for you, the prodigal dad just waiting for you to turn home. And He was watching, waiting. And as soon as you started to turn home, your prodigal father ran to the edge of the property, just ran and chased you down and wrapped you up and put gold rings on you and brought you home. But He had to let you go so that you could understand what was waiting for you back home. But you took a screenshot when you're in the pig pen. You took the screenshot and you said, I'm in a pig pen. How good is God? Don't be insecure. Life is a movie, not a screenshot. God is doing a new thing. His mercies are new every morning. He's in the middle of the miracle, even while you feel like you're in the middle of mud. So He looks down at Gideon, and Gideon's crying out, please, Lord, if the Lord's with us, then why has all this happened to us? I love this. And the Lord turned to him and said, I hope you caught it. Let me rewind for you real quick. We just talked about the movie. Look, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came. Cries out, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? I don't see the Lord. You see the Lord? I don't see the Lord. And then look at the very next verse. Verse 14. And what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And the, oh. So you mean He was present the whole time? You mean He was there when I didn't think He was? You mean even those moments I was frustrated and I cried out and said, where are you, God? He was right there. You mean those moments of doubt, He was still close enough to hear? And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Write this down. Security doesn't come because I'm with God, but because God is with me. Security doesn't come because I'm with God. It's because God is with me. He says, do I not send you? But I will be with you. Look at all these other verses. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Matthew 28:20, teach them to obey and observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, this is the Great Commission, behold, I am with you always. How often is he with you? Always. And I heard a Lord, Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, a lot of us, we've got our insecurity twisted because we think we should be good because we're with God. That's not really where your faith should lie. Because even your dependency on God can go up and down. Even your own faith can waver. But you know what cannot waver? He who has promised is faithful. He who gave you new life, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to walk out on you. He's not going to turn his back on you. The issue is not that you are with God. The issue is that God is with you. You have no business to put your head down. I'm preaching better than you're responding today. I just got to tell you. So here's the thing. He is with you. The issue, you cannot build your life based on what you do or your circumstance or the people or the money or the things around you. You cannot even build your life based on my faith in him. You build your life on the fact that he is with me. And in this new covenant, this new covenant is not based on what you can do for God. It never was. If you believe your entire faith is based on what you can do for God or what decision you made for Christ, then you're getting it all wrong. The whole picture is because God has received you. He gave you the right to become, the scripture says, sons and daughters of God. He gave that right. Don't think that you had some big, magnificent role to play in all this. You know what your role, you know what my role in all of this in salvation is? I stink at life, Lord. That's my role. I confess I am broken. I admit that I'm a sinner. I receive the fact, I understand the fact that I am in need of salvation. I'm a broken vessel. And Lord, I need you to fill me. I need you to heal me. I need you to give me new life. I need you to be with me. I need to know that you love me. That's our role in salvation. And so what happens is that even confident, cocky Christians, we can find ourselves insecure. Because here's what I've heard so many times. Pastor, you don't understand. I've read my Bible. I've served on Sunday. I've given money. I've taken care of people. And yet I'm still in the mud. And the tragedy is that the scriptures confirm for us in no uncertain terms that many will come to the Lord saying, Lord, I've done this in your name. I've done that in your name. And the scripture says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And so you cannot build even your faith on you being with God. Your faith is built on the trust and the hope and the fact that God is with you. You see, that's the part of this relationship that I'll never fail. I might fail God, but he'll never fail me. He who has promised is faithful. You're jotting notes, write that down. You may fail God, but in Christ, God will not fail you. If you're battling insecurities, sit with the Lord. Father, what am I building my life on? See, the reality is that some of us are using God to try to get to what we really want. Some of us are trying to get God's favor so that we get a relationship. We're trying to get God's favor so that we could get finances. We're trying to get God's favor so that we could get influence among our peers. We're using God to get to what our hearts really cry for. And if you want security, if you want security in this life, you must be rooted and built upon the Word of God, the authority of God in your life, the power of God, the power of the Spirit in your life, the trust in Jesus and His resurrection to save your soul, the fact that the Father speaks and gives you direction in your day-to-day life, the fact that the Holy Spirit translates the Word into your heart. You must root and build your life in Him. And it is not that you are with God that's the issue. It is that God is with you. And so I can be secure if I build my faith on the fact that God is with me. I will be insecure if I'm deciding how good my faith is by how I did today with God. But here's what I'll tell you as I close. Here's what I'll tell you. A beautiful thing happens when you build your life on the fact that God is with you. Because when you live and you move and you have your being in the fact that God is with me today, all of a sudden you start to realize my feelings are fickle. My feelings on the issue are not the priority. My feelings need to take the back seat because the fact that God is with me takes the front seat. He is driving this ship and I'm going to trust Him even in the midst of the storm. Just like Jesus and the disciples, storms all around, Jesus taking a nap, He is befuddled and frustrated that they would even wake Him up. When Jesus is in control of the wind and the water and the waves, what do you have to fear? Don't build your faith on things outside of the faith. Don't build your faith even on your own commitment, because that'll go up and down. Build your faith on the fact that God is with you. Salvation is from Him. Salvation is by Him. Salvation is for us, but also for Him. He says that He separates your sin as far as the east is from the west for His own sake. He doesn't want to see it either. And so you and I, if we're battling insecurity, we can go to Him and say, Lord, You are with me. The money might not be with me. The people may not be with me. The house might not be with me. My health may be failing. My health might not be with me. But I'm not building my life on all that stuff. I'm building my life on the fact that You are with me. And so I will be what You've called me to be. I will become who You've designed me to become. I will let go of the things that I'm trying to harbor together to build a life on. I'm just going to build my life on the fact that You are with me. You love me through Jesus' blood, His righteousness, His resurrection. He has forgiven me. And so I am a child of the King. I am a son. I am a daughter. And here's the beautiful thing that happens when you live like that. All of a sudden, you don't want all the other things as much. The beautiful mystery of, I think we have it all wrong. And I think when you talk to missionaries, they tell you, we kind of sit back and we're in awe of missionaries. And most missionaries are scratching their head saying, how come he doesn't? How come she doesn't? How come they don't see what we see? We don't have reason to be in awe of missionaries because we are all missionaries. What we need to do is we need to realize that we're building our lives on the wrong things. Do you know why we get in awe of somebody who would lay down their possessions and go and minister overseas? It's because we're attached to our possessions. Do you know why we're in awe of somebody who gives away a considerable sum of resources to help other people in need? Because we're attached to our resources. Don't fool yourself to believe that your awe is a gift of God. Many times your awe is admitting sin. Because to the missionary, God is everything. It's not about my stuff. I'm not building my life on my stuff. I'm not even building my life on how great my faith is. I'm building my life on the fact that He is with me. And if you do that, you will live in security. Let's pray.